show, we debate who the next Premier League rights will go to. Could La Liga be heading to ESPN? NBC confirms the pending shutdown of NBCSN. Plus, we have letters from you, the listeners, in our mailbag section. I'm Christopher Harris, a.k.a. The Gaffer, joined alongside my co-host, Kartik Krishnaiyer. If you're new to the podcast, we're your weekly guides for hardcore soccer fans who want to stay updated on getting the best out of the soccer viewing options from around the world. Well, Kartik, last week we did the podcast on Wednesday night, released it on Thursday morning, and then all hell broke loose on Friday. That was with the Wall Street Journal breaking the news officially that NBCSN was going to be shut down either later this year or early of 2022, and that games would be moving to USA Network and to Peacock. Probably, maybe by the end of the season, but definitely next season for the Premier League. There's definitely going to be a bunch of games on USA and NBC, and a whole bunch on Peacock. What were your thoughts when you heard the news and saw that Wall Street Journal report?
Yeah, I wasn't, as maybe people remember, because I wrote a story on this a month ago, after John Oren from SVJ had teased it and reported in his predictions that he felt like they would get shut down. I wasn't shocked. I was expecting it. Now, my concern is what has happened since Friday, which is we've heard a lot about other sports, whether it's fighting sports, it's hockey, it's auto racing, et cetera, NASCAR. We have not heard much about what the plans are for the Premier League and for soccer on NBC. So that has me, and we're recording this Wednesday night. So the last 5 days, I'm a little more uneasy about what might happen next season. Or whenever it's shut down, there will be time left on NBC's contract, right? Because the contract expires May of 22,
right?
So yeah, even if it's January of 2022, it gets shut down. There will be some shift of matches, and we saw mid-season ESPN shift matches the year they launched ESPN Plus, shift matches from linear television to behind the Plus paywall. So there might be some shift to Peacock or to some other linear channel during the course of next season. Or it might come as early as this summer, for all we know.
Well, that's the thing. Like last season of the Premier League, we did see a shift, an early shift to Peacock. I mean, Peacock originally was going to launch in the summer in coordination with the Olympics, but we started getting some games on Peacock. I think it was June or so, but when the season hadn't ended yet, but towards the end of that season. But that's the thing, though, too, Kartik, is that with these games moving to USA Network and to Peacock, I mean, this really, and shutting down NBCSN, this is really the first domino to fall. This is the first major sports network on cable and satellite television that's going out of business. And I think a lot of this is cost cutting. This is a way for NBC Sports and NBC Universal to say, okay, we have all these properties that we have bought the rights to, including the Premier League. We have NBCSN, which is growing, but then there's cord cutting happening, right? So people are getting rid of the cable, they're getting rid of the satellite. So even though numbers have gone up compared to where NBCSN started off way back when, in what, 2013 or so, before they changed the name, as a whole, people are cutting the cord, and cable companies actual networks are being shut down. And this is the first of many. We can expect to see other sports networks probably do the same thing. And really, I mean, again, the future is streaming. The future is now. I mean, there's so much content and sports programming, and especially soccer, that's on streaming, which we'll get to in a little bit as far as some other news. But everything is heading in this direction. And as you reported back in December, talking about this, this is to be expected, and it did happen. At the same time, though, on that Friday night when Wall Street Journal did break the news, I think IndyCar and I think some of the other partners that NBC had or have, the sports leagues that they have partnerships with, they issued formal announcements saying that, you know, we're looking forward to being on USA Network, etc. So two things happened. I reached out to the Premier League to ask them, hey, do you guys have a comment or a statement that you'd like to share about NBCSN shutting down and most of your games that were on that network, which has been the home of the Premier League since 2013? Do you have anything to say about that? At the same time, though, I was hearing from one of my contacts in England to say that the Premier League had absolutely no idea that this was happening. They were caught blindsided. The first they knew about the Premier League not being on NBCSN at some point in this year when NBCSN shuts down was that Wall Street Journal article. And within the Premier League, they were pretty upset about hearing the news this way. So we broke that story on Friday. Actually, no, I think on Saturday, once we got some additional information into that article. But it was a crazy 24 hours, Kartik.
Yeah, and I think the Premier League wants to continue to be on linear television in the United States. I think they're very, very aware of what NBC did to increase their distribution and their the recognition of the Premier League as a mainstream sporting property in this country, at least initially the first few years NBC broadcast the league. Now, as I think we've talked about repeatedly, that the ratings have stagnated. There have been just kind of a stalling of momentum for the league, and NBC has their own coverage, and we talked about that at length, and I know we're going to get more into that in the listener mailbag, but their coverage has stagnated. So I don't know what the Premier League is, what options they really have. We're going to get into that, but they certainly cannot be happy about this, and they have to be concerned that all the forward momentum they've had in the United States has now abruptly stopped. And it helped, I think, that Liverpool won a title, honestly, because mm-hmm. that kept a lot of Liverpool fans, who were probably the most passionate group in this country of fans. The other group I would say is incredibly passionate, or at least very vocal on social media from the U.S. or Spurs fans. But they have to figure out how they continue to elevate, they keep the Premier League on a pedestal above the other leagues. And this is something I think we should discuss regarding potential partners, media partners for the Premier League, because I don't think they necessarily want to be on a network that is showing a lot of other European leagues. If they're showing MLS, that's fine. But showing other European leagues that then may view those leagues as co-equals, right? I think the Premier League is probably concerned about that because they're very much into their own image.
Yeah, the timing of this announcement is actually pretty good for the Premier League because they look at this and think, okay, yeah, this is not good about not knowing that NBCSN officially was going to announce that they're going to shut down that channel. Also, at the same time, being upset with a lot of games moving to Peacock, including the biggest match of the year so far this season, Man United against Liverpool. Wasn't a great game, but it was the biggest game of the season, and that was only on Peacock. But at the same time, they're looking to the future. And the next TV deal, as you mentioned, it ends with the end of the 2021-2022 season. However, the discussions have already started. The bidding will begin in the next few months. And any broadcaster who's interested in the United States that wants to go ahead and submit a bid and put together a presentation and a proposal about how they're going to go ahead and take the Premier League to the next level. And a lot of that is distribution. A lot of that is, okay, do you have access to cable channels? Do you have access to free-to-air or over-the-air channels? Do you have a streaming platform? How else will you market this league? Will you have fan zones? Will you be doing a lot of social media marketing? What type of talent are you thinking about when you're putting together a proposal like this? And so the Premier League will be looking at the NBCSN, who NBCSN is interested in renewing these rights, and will be thinking, okay, all right, NBCSN, it's been a great 8 years? We're into the eighth year now. It's been a great 8 years so far. There's been some hiccups. There's been some negatives, but mostly positive. We love what you've been doing. However, at the same time, the talent that or the actual executives that are talking to NBC and the Premier League are different than they were when the deal was first done back in 2012, 2013. So things have changed quite a bit. But for you, Kartik, when you look at, we can go through each one of these too. So you've got ABC, so the ABC slash ESPN. So you've got that kind of family, that network, that giant, media giant, really, as one possibility. You have CBS as another possibility. And CBS, of course, with CBS All Access as well, which has been renamed to Paramount Plus beginning March 4th. Then you have Fox. You have Fox that is desperately out of the club soccer game, except for, I mean, really a few Liga MX games and, of course, MLS. But for European club soccer, they're completely out of the business, but have a good opportunity, have a good platform. And then you've got, who else have you got there, Kartik? So you got CBS, you got ABC, you got NBC, and you got Fox. I think that's pretty much as far as like the majors, right? Anyone else I'm forgetting?
Yeah, I mean, if the Premier League wants to stay on network television in the U.S., something that they never found important in their own home market, ironically enough, the U.K. I mean, this is last season is the first season we had matches over the air, free to air in the U.K. because of the pandemic. BBC got some matches, and that's continued through today. But they never found that an important aspect. In fact, British colleagues of mine were so stunned when they found out that that there were 30 to 32 matches a year free to air on NBC from the Premier League. They as I said, prior to last season, they had zero matches free to air in the UK. But if that's something that that the Premier League wants to continue, keep in mind the Premier League had some games on Fox, Big Fox, in their previous rights deal. Never on ABC, though, interestingly enough, with ESPN having sub-licensed rights from Fox for four seasons. They never showed a match on ABC. I think that those would be the only options. So you've got ABC via ESPN, an ESPN deal, NBC, Fox, and Fox. NBC and Fox have already shown that they will content share. And then CBS, who have shown their willingness to put women's soccer over the air. There were five plus two, so seven NWSL matches on CBS this past year in a condensed season on free-to-air television, on network television. So if CBS got the Premier League rights, having now effectively they're out of the college football space. They are not out of the college basketball space by any stretch of the imagination, though. So that's a complication. But on the college football side, there would be more ability for CBS in the fall to show Premier League matches, even potentially an 8 p.m. UK time kickoff, 3 p.m. U.S. time, which, of course, NBC can't show over the year. They've always had to show those games on SN when they're played at that time.
So let's start with CBS then as the first one. So you mentioned CBS over the air, who don't have SEC football anymore, but like you said, they do have college basketball. They have golf, I believe.
Yeah, they have a ton of golf, right.
So there's not a lot of opportunities there. There will be times, I'm sure, throughout the year where they could put some games on CBS on a morning time, over the air, and maybe a couple of other windows. At the same time, they've got the streaming platform. They also have CBS Sports Network, right? And they've also got CBS Sports HQ, which is their 24/7 news channel. And we've seen from the commitment levels from the Champions League and the Europa League how committed they are to those properties and how good of a job they've done. Also, at the same time, too, having a studio based out of London, which in the broadcasting of soccer in the United States, that was a revolutionary idea. That's something that's never been done before. We've always had American talent. We've always had, you mean, whether it's a host or a studio, or it was always American talent, because I guess the networks, you mean the Foxes of the world, ESPN probably to a degree too, probably felt that we need to have an American voice talking about whatever league it is in order to make it feel more natural to somebody that's switching on, you mean Fox or FS1 or Fox Soccer Channel, whatever it may be. So CBS definitely has a lot of things to offer And Paramount Plus is probably the key part of that, as far as they want to make sure that the Paramount Plus is just as big as Disney Plus, just as big as, you know, the Netflixes of the world, and to make it a massive streaming service. And in order to do that, you need rights. And yes, they've got some great content. They've got the Stand series from Stephen King, which is absolutely fantastic. I'm watching that right now. But at the end of the day, the Premier League would look at that and go, do we have enough access to over-the-air network for CBS to have a big games on CBS, or will they be pushed back to the CBS Sports Network? What do you think, Kartik?
Yeah, so CBS also has NFL, and NBC, the only conflicts with NFL would be on at night, which is not a conflict for the Premier League. Golf is a complication, as it was with NBC, because golf takes place during the day, right? It takes place during daytime hours. And we've seen a number of Premier League matches bump from NBC to NBCSN because of golf through the years that the network has had the Premier League. CBS, though, as I said, as you said, lost the SEC rights. They have wide open blocks when there's no golf. And actually, the PGA Tour season now ends earlier. So if we get back to a normal calendar post-coronavirus, in theory, CBS would have August to November or December on Saturdays wide open. And they could always play college basketball games later, show college basketball games on CBS instead of showing them at noon or 1 p.m. at 3 on Saturdays. The complication comes as you get close to the NCAA tournament. There will be several weeks where CBS will not be able to show anything else other than the NCAA tournament. But I think that they are definitely a player. Their London-based studio might appeal to the Premier League also, because there'll be personalities that they're used to that CBS could attract. Now, keep in mind that some of the personalities that CBS has for Champions League will not be available to the Premier League on CBS. They would be guys like Jamie Carragher are contracted to Fox when it comes to weekend Premier League action, right? And same thing with a number of their other people that they use are contracted to various broadcasters.
But I think being based in London and having access to so much talent that's available in whether it's Europe or in the UK that they could bring in easily. Some top level talent that there are not with BBC or ITV or Sky Sports or, I mean, some of the European channels. There's a great opportunity there to bring in some talent if they wanted to.
And I would point out Clive Tilsley, who is their top commentator, never, because he didn't work for Sky, never got to call a Premier League match until NBC hired him to do a few matches. He had done some match of the day stuff, I think, at one point. Obviously, he was with ITV for years. They didn't have Premier League rights. So he had called everything else, World Cup finals, England internationals for years, other leagues, but he had never gotten to call the Premier League. So there, that just speaks to what you're saying, Chris. There's a lot of talent and a lot of people. I remember when he called that first NBC game, I think both you and I were shocked to learn he had never called a Premier League match before.
That's right.
But in fact, it was true. So there, I don't know that there's anyone else of Clive Tilsley's stature or level, but there are others of a high level that are not contracted to Premier League broadcasters that are based in the UK that CBS could hire.
Yeah, and there's a bunch of commentators too that do a lot of work for the world feed, so the TWI, IMG feed that we get for the Premier League. So one name just to throw out there, not to say that he would be the marquee name, but like someone like Jonathan Pierce, who does a lot of work, or someone like I'm trying to think of who
Jonathan
else.
Jonathan Pierce is doing a lot of women's games too, which might be particularly interesting to CBS since they've got this deal going with NWSL. Also, CBS might be interested in the women's Super League side if they do, which of course NBC has gotten as well. But if they do get the Premier League rights, and Jonathan Pierce is now effectively the voice of that league.
Yeah, yeah. Someone like Stuart Robson, someone that we've loved for the longest time. Yes, I know he works for ESPN as a kind of a correspondent, but and I'm sure there's a ton of other players that are former players or kind of recently retired players, as well as talent or even managers. Or there's so much to choose from. So that's a possibility. I think with CBS, they would look at this as just a fantastic opportunity to go ahead and boost the number of subscribers to Paramount Plus. which is currently CBS All Access, but it'll be renamed. And they have the access to the television. They have access to CBS Sports Network. It's just whether or not, in terms of programming, in terms of their commitment, what they believe, how many games would be on broadcast television versus cable television versus streaming, and whether that proposal would be enough to persuade the Premier League to consider that bid, depending, again, on how much they're bidding, if they're their highest bidder or not. I think there's definitely interest there. Whether it's enough, we'll have to wait and see. So let's look at Fox, Kartik. So Fox, like I said, completely out of the European club game. They have the rights to the World Cup, both the men's and women's, as well as Major League Soccer. The thing about Fox is that because they haven't really televised much soccer in the last several months, actually I was looking at their TV ratings the other day, their TV ratings are doing great on FS1, even without soccer. So I think the executives are probably thinking, like, why would we spend over $1 billion for the rights to the Premier League when everyone, not everyone, but so many people hate Fox's coverage of soccer? So you won't get the diehard fans getting too excited. The mainstream fans may not care as much, but the mainstream fans are more into baseball or to basketball or NFL football. I just think with Fox is that they've been there, they've done that. It was a success for them in their early days, but I think they've moved on. I just don't see Fox being having much interest in the rights to this. Do you agree or disagree?
Well, I agree, because they also don't have any sort of major streaming platform component ever since selling their interest in Hulu to Disney, which was part of the whole – they sold – most of their properties to Disney, most of the News Corp, at least broadcast properties around the world, not just in the U.S., but all over the world to Disney. So I don't think that they're going to be interested. I would not be shocked if – now, the Premier League didn't allow joint bids last time, but if they do allow a joint bid this time, a Fox piggybacked with somebody.
All right, Kartik, let's move on to NBC. So NBC having a long history with the Premier League, a lot of positives, as we have mentioned. I just wonder, in this next deal, or this next proposal that NBC is working so hard to go ahead and renew, is what do they say that's different? What do you think that they're going to say that's going to be different than what they're doing now? How can they convince the Premier League to renew other than offering a ton of money? I mean, is there anything you can think of that could be a possibility?
They add more matches on over the year. They go from 30 to 50 or so a season, although I don't know where they're going to find those time slots, honestly, on NBC, because they are committed, and I should have mentioned this with reference to CBS also. There, you have to have, per FCC guidelines, a certain amount of educational programming and a certain amount of public affairs programming on the weekends. And then what ends up happening is the rest of the time gets filled with American sports, generally, mm-hmm. on these networks. So NBC has managed to shoehorn in one Premier League match a week into that. Would they be willing to go to two? I don't know. So then you have to ask about USA. USA Network is in more households than NBCSN. It's a much more mainstream channel, although they've had a drop in ratings lately. I noticed this past year they were down to the 20th most watched cable channel in the country. USA at one time was in the top 10. But still, 20th is very different than NBCSN, which is like 65th or 70th or something. That. So you're in theory on a better platform if NBC is actually committed to showing two or three Premier League matches a week on USA Network. That is what the Premier League needs to hear from NBC. We will give you our top rated cable channel, which is USA. We will give you two or three time slots a week on that channel, not just the 3 p.m. Kickoff, which is 10 a.m. Eastern time kickoffs, but that early morning slot, that slot, that 10 a.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. UK time, and one of the Sunday slots, preferably the 11:30 Eastern time kickoff. If they're not willing to do that on USA, and they're going to say, oh, some of those matches will be on CNBC, some of those matches will be bumped to Peacock, I think the Premier League has to seriously consider other options. This having been said, NBC is the incumbent. I think they are the favorite, and I think it would be in NBC's best interest. They're already, I think, going to move more matches to Peacock. Unlike other people who think that's outrageous, I think it's fair. The Premier League ratings, we talk about them on this show every week, they have not really improved. It's still the most watched league among English-language dominant soccer fans in the country. Twice as many viewers as the next one, which would be MLS. But it's not really growing. I think we're in a position where they should take what they can get from NBC if they're willing to give those three slots a weekend on USA plus the one or hopefully two or one and a half, let's say, on NBC a weekend. Then I would call it a day, call it a deal, not even have to talk to anyone else. Unless the Premier League is looking for more money, which I'm not sure they are. I think the visibility component is going to be more important to them than the financial component.
Yeah, I think it's one of those things. It's like they will say that the distribution and the visibility are the most important things, but then they are they're answering to the clubs. So the clubs will, each of the Man Uniteds, the Liverpools, you mean the Aston Villas, every single club will say, like, hey, we need to make sure that our international rights, the amount of money that we're getting from the international markets is as high as it can be so that we can compete against the Barcelonas, the Real Madrids, the Bayern Munichs. So I think it's a difficult balance for the Premier League. Again, facing the press, they will say, yeah, visibility, distribution is most important. Behind closed doors, it's all about the money. Having said that, though, too, I think with NBC, the challenge with over the air, I mean, they have that one game on almost every Saturday at 12:30 Eastern time, is that their hands are tied behind their back because they have what? They have NFL on Sunday afternoons. On Sunday mornings is political programming, Meet the Press. Saturday mornings is usually kids' cartoons, which they have to by law, you mean, broadcast those. So the windows of time that they have are difficult. They could do like, and the Premier League doesn't have a lot of games that are on mid afternoon, like kind of the 3 o'clock kickoffs or the 2:15 kickoffs. We've seen since the coronavirus more games scheduled in that window, but they're usually on Peacock. So there's a possibility there, depending on what other programming they got going on. But at the same time, too, they've got the Olympics this summer. Maybe. Who knows? Right? Yeah, So I think their hands are tied. I mean, the thing for me is with USA, which is really interesting, is this past week NBC Universal, which runs Peacock, did a deal with the World Wrestling Entertainment Organization. So, you mean, the major wrestling league. And they paid $1 billion for the exclusive streaming rights to the WWE. So Peacock, and actually in the quotes they mentioned this week, one of the head executives who we've interviewed in the past, he said that they want to make Peacock have sports be an important tier of the programming that's available on Peacock. So if you had wrestling and you continue to have the Premier League, that's a pretty attractive opportunity for a sports fan or somebody that's young or middle-aged, whatever age they are, but they're interested in entertainment as well as The Office, as well as all the other programming they have. So now whether that's good enough for the Premier League, whether that's what the Premier League would want, having these games on streaming and yes, some games on NBC and yes, some games on USA, I'm not sure. To me, it's not a perfect scenario. And that's the thing, Kartik. I think we've talked about Fox, we've talked about CBS, and we've talked about NBC. None of them are a perfect scenario in terms of what they offer. But what about ABC and ESPN? Do you think they have the perfect scenario there?
No, because, again, I don't think the Premier League wants to be on an equal footing with the Bundesliga or Serie A or La Liga. Potentially, we'll get into La Liga in a minute, right? You had a pretty fascinating report earlier this week. Even the tone on NBC is a tone that the Premier League is superior, right? The Premier League is the greatest show on earth. These other European leagues are pedestrian by comparison. Obviously, I don't believe this. In fact, I think it might be the opposite in some cases. But that's the tone, right? And they set the tone on NBC by effectively, I mean, in fact, I was having a conversation with someone this week who said they're fed up with NBC because NBC acts like other competitions are don't even exist. I mean, they even the FA Cup, which is a domestic competition, if they don't broadcast it or it's not the Premier League, it's not of certain importance. And if it's not the Premier League, if a player comes from a player or manager comes from another league, they clearly are coming from an inferior place, right? This is like going from the minor leagues in baseball to the major leagues in the way they view it. So the Premier League has a very patronizing, and I mean, you even hear this from Stu Robson. You mentioned him a little while ago as a potential hire for CBS. Stuart Robson even has said this on ESPN on multiple occasions, that the Premier League has a very patronizing view towards everybody else. So would they accept being on ESPN's platform, where ESPN is very invested in promoting the Bundesliga, is maybe less invested than they used to be in promoting MLS, but still gives MLS a lot of promotion, a lot of love. I think the MLS thing would bother Premier League less. It's the other European leagues. If at Serie A, they've increased their the exposure of that league, and if they get La Liga, which we're going to talk about in a little bit, Chris, they will go to the mat for La Liga, because Barcelona and Real Madrid are bigger brand names in this country than any other European club, save maybe Manchester United. So I don't know if the Premier League wants to be in that position. They put themselves on a pedestal, being on a broadcaster that is 100% committed to them, and quite frankly has talent, maybe whether it's by design or it's their genuine view that looks down upon other leagues and other competitions in Europe. I think that serves the Premier League's narrative very well. So I don't think the ESPN thing is likely unless they were given like 30 dates on ABC, which is possible outside of college football season. The college football is a complication, mm-hmm. right? But ABC does not have any NFL that they show. So they could show Sunday matches potentially on ABC, particularly. And I think this Sunday 11:30 kickoff, it's only a half an hour, but when it used to be 11, it was more complicated for American broadcasters because of that public affairs political programming you mentioned on Sunday mornings, which the networks are obligated to carry. They have to show those on Sunday morning. They have to dedicate a certain amount of time on Sunday mornings to public affairs per federal law. But 11:30 makes it easier to potentially show that match. So you could see some sort of deal with ABC if the Premier League is – if ESPN is willing to give the Premier League the ABC windows that it has not given other soccer leagues. And I know they've shown a handful of MLS games here and there on ABC recently, but I mean the weekly commitment. Otherwise, I think it's a non-starter. I think just from the Premier League's own image and their arrogance, quite frankly, I don't think they want to be on a platform that's promoting the Bundesliga equally or Serie A equally to them.
So if I'm an executive at, say, Fox or CBS or ESPN, and we're trying to figure out a way to beat NBC, to make sure that NBC doesn't get the rights for the next 3 to 6 years, I'm calling up the execs, the top execs at ESPN, at Fox and CBS, saying like, hey, if we go in with a partnership, if we go in with a joint deal, that could guarantee that we get the rights if the price is right. Because between ESPN might have the 7:30 kickoff on, say, ESPN or ESPN2. NBC could have the Fox could have the 12:30 kickoff. Maybe CBS then with their window, there's opportunities to have a game that's on over the air, and then have some of the games on streaming. Some maybe on ESPN Plus, some of it on Paramount Plus. Maybe a deal also with a streaming service such as Discovery Plus. Or another streaming service such as DAZN, and then share the rights among all those and figure out a way to do it effectively, and then actually give the Premier League what they want, which is a massive deal. Do you think that would be enough to convince NBC? I think to convince the Premier League. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I think I've actually thought in the back of my mind this whole time that Amazon. Now, I obviously people who follow me on Twitter saw, and I think you retweeted it, so everyone saw it. I think that Discovery is actually a player for these rights because of Discovery Plus, and because they have the Discovery Channel and other channels where they could conceivably show half those Premier League matches a week on cable, but they don't have a network. They don't have an over-the-air channel. It's the complication for Discovery because right away when this was reported on Friday, Discovery was the first thing I thought of. I thought, okay, they're going to go in because, by the way, they have been on Premier League rights before in the U.S., which I'm not sure if people remember. And I'm trying to remember which rights cycle that was, but they did.
Mm-hmm. That may have been
when NBC first won the rights. Maybe Discovery bid that time. They were the...
I believe so, yeah. Like the 2012 when the bid...
Yeah, I think that they were maybe the second highest bidder. Fox had come in way low, the incumbent, Fox and ESPN. Yeah, so Discovery has been interested in these rights before, believe it or not. People may not know that because they don't show sports. But this was one property they thought, I think because of the time slots, being more morning and it wouldn't interfere with any of their primetime programming type of thing, the one sporting property they've seemed to show interest in. So I could see that. The issue now is getting on network television. So maybe DAZN and Amazon Prime emerge as players, and especially for Fox. So I mentioned maybe one of them picks up the rights and then sublicenses, and it's also much easier to do a deal with Fox if you're DAZN or Amazon because Disney is a rival in the streaming space. NBC Universal, Comcast is a rival in the streaming space. Viacom/CBS/Paramount+ is a rival in the streaming space. Fox is no longer a rival. So you could be Amazon Prime, pick up the bulk of these matches. We see they already have some rights in the UK and have gotten pretty good reviews for their coverage. Mm-hmm. In fact, a lot of people are saying, gosh, you know, Amazon Prime is doing things with their 20 matches a year or whatever they have. They don't have that many matches, but there are a few match days a year that they have that Sky and VT are not doing, right? Their actual coverage is very innovative. So,
right.
They've hired some really good commentators, including John Champion, who everyone who listens to this podcast is familiar with. So I think that's a possibility. Prime gets the rights. They sublicense 20, 25 games to Fox to show not on Fox Sports or Fox FS1, but on Fox over the air, or same thing with DAZN. And then there's, of course, the Discovery potential, which would take the Premier League off of over-the-air television, but probably give the Premier League more games on cable television than any other possibility. So that's the Discovery thing is hard to gauge because I think, yes, they want the content for Discovery Plus, but they also probably will have more ability to show the games on television than any of the other bidders we're talking about. But they just don't have a network component. So that's is being on over-the-air once a week and maybe get one other game on cable better for the Premier League, or is having potentially five games on cable a week, which is what they've had with NBCSN, five or six games, and then the rest on streaming on Discovery Plus, a better deal? They have to make that decision.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, the thing I said earlier that could head this off, Chris, is if NBC committed to giving three matches, that's my magic number, three matches a week on USA to the Premier League. I don't think they'll do that. But what I'm saying is if they do that, I think the Premier League will stay with NBC.
Yeah, a lot of this, too, is about pride. So if you're the head of ABC/ESPN or you're the head of CBS, are you willing to go ahead and work with a rival network to come up with a proposal, with a plan, a joint plan to go into the Premier League to say, hey, we've actually put a plan together to actually work together because we want to make you, the Premier League, like the NFL of the United States for soccer. So, for example, like with the NFL, you got games on what? You got games on Fox, you got games on CBS, you got games on all these different channels. There's no way that like one single channel can bring you all the NFL games and bring you all the coverage that you want. We working together, we'll be able to put together a package that's going to just, you mean, blow your mind and also bring in a ton of money. Having said that, though, too, I mean, I think that's the only way that that any of those networks can beat NBC, unless it's based on just actually how much they're bidding. Because an ESPN by itself doesn't have everything. It's not a perfect scenario. Same thing with Fox, same thing with CBS. But working together, and maybe in conjunction with some of these streaming services, coming up with a really great proposal, that could be enough to get the Premier League to say, yep, that's what we want to do for the next 3 to 6 years. That makes total sense. It would be a mess. It would be like Major League Soccer, where you don't know which games are going to be on which day, on which time. But, you mean, we talked about this before. If you're so much of a fan, you will find out where those games are. You will find out if it's on ESPN or ABC or CBS or Discovery Plus or ESPN Plus, you name it. I mean, we're used to that by now. It adds complexity, but it definitely gives the Premier League the reach and the distribution that they so crave.
So let me finish on this point, following up on what you just said. I don't know where everybody's heads are, the executives right now, as we do go through this in January 2021. I can tell you for several years, from about 2013 to 2018, 2019, Comcast / NBC Universal was seen as the big enemy of all of these broadcasters, which would prompt them to team up. The reason is, not only do they have a network and now a streaming platform in Peacock and all these cable channels they own, they are also a cable provider. I think AT&T buying the Turner networks and CNN and HBO, that might change that dynamic a little bit. Maybe AT&T is seen as big an enemy, although AT&T we haven't discussed in relation to this, so maybe it's irrelevant when we're talking about this. But there was, even though folks at Disney / ESPN or Viacom / CBS and Fox, News Corp Fox, they all see each one another as rivals, they're more liable to team up with one another if NBC is on the other side than one of them teaming up with NBC against the other, is what I'm trying to say. Mm-hmm. Comcast has been the big enemy, you know, a big bear in the room, if you will. So if that dynamic is still there when these rights are bid on, what you're laying out, Chris, very well could happen, because any chance to punish Comcast seems to be in the MO of both Disney and Viacom.
Yeah, at the same time, you have to be really careful about that, too, because we've seen what's happened to beIN Sports when they went up against Comcast and took them to the FCC and said, hey, we're going to go ahead and protest about this decision. We should be in sports. We should be on Comcast. This is crazy that we're not. And that didn't end well for beIN Sports in terms of them not being available still a couple of years later on Comcast or DirecTV or any of the major cable or TV networks. So, yeah, it is. You have to be extremely careful. But speaking of beIN Sports and speaking of ESPN Plus, a news report came out this week that we published here at World Soccer Talk, and it has the full article at worldsoccertalk.com. It's been doing the rounds quite a bit these last few days. But that report is that ESPN has been in discussions with La Liga to try to figure out a way if they can acquire the rights to La Liga. And La Liga, the rights for La Liga are with beIN Sports exclusively up until 2024. However, there's a lot of question marks about beIN Sports, everything from the distribution or lack of distribution to how long will they be around? Are they committed past the 2022 World Cup in Qatar? How committed are they to being a long-term player on U.S. television in this country? Now, globally, they're a massive media company. Globally, they have the rights to La Liga in most of the world. And part of that global deal was the United States. However, ESPN's in discussions. They've had talks. They're actively trying to figure out a way if they can get those rights. And that could be a possibility for the Premier League in the future, too, is that even though, like you mentioned, Kartik, ESPN Plus, maybe with the Premier League, they don't want to be on the same level or seen to be on the same level as a La Liga potentially, but also Serie A, Bundesliga, etc. But that could be something too if ESPN and ABC says, hey, we will put you on ESPN Plus, which is in, what, I think about 12 million homes in the United States and growing rapidly. But we will have games on ESPN, we'll have games on ESPN2, and we'll have games on ABC now and again. And actually, even that proposal, to me, would be pretty attractive. Also, ESPN FC daily coverage. I mean, a lot of discussion, a lot of clips and highlights, as well as SportsCenter. It's not going to give them the distribution on the over-the-air channel on ABC as much as they want, but it's still an attractive proposition. And any time I've reported about ESPN Plus, whether it was this report about La Liga or the report back in September, we broke the news about the Scottish Premier League rights, the internet, I mean, the Twitter sphere, social media has absolutely exploded. People just love ESPN Plus.
Yeah. And I love ESPN Plus. We this week I can't even keep track of the number of matches I watched because of ESPN Plus. I mean, I'm watching Eredivisie, I'm watching matches from the Indian League, I'm watching matches from everywhere. In addition to my usual viewing of German and Italian matches on ESPN Plus, and championship matches, FA Cup. We not only had the FA Cup this weekend, we had a couple of championship matches, significant ones on ESPN Plus. It's for a soccer fan. We're getting to the point where, and this is where the Premier League is in a different environment, different universe, really. We're getting to the point where if you're not a Premier League fan, but you're a soccer fan, you don't need anything else. You don't need television. You don't need anything. You just need whatever box you can get ESPN Plus through, your Roku stick or whatever. You're $5.98 a month or $6.98 a month, whatever it is, and that's it. And that's, I think, as we go back to the Premier League for just a second, that's a dangerous place to be because, and again, I'm making this this comment assuming this happens and BN loses the La Liga rights in some fashion to ESPN. I think at that point, it is the one-stop shop for most soccer fans. And we know, just from our own anecdotal experience and talking to people, and it comes up all the time, as recently as yesterday with a prominent person in my conversation, that like Premier League fans, a lot of them are in a vacuum, right? They're Premier League fans. They're not really soccer fans. They're not really fans of other leagues. They're not fans of domestic soccer in the U.S. So if you're an overall soccer fan, even if the Premier League stays on NBC or goes to Discovery or one of these other places we're talking about and is not on ESPN, you could probably buy ESPN Plus and live without the Premier League. And so that's something I think that is really, really interesting. If La Liga moves there, it's a huge move. And I think it would be a big move for La Liga. I don't need to repeat everything I've said about BN, whose coverage I like, by the way, but whose distribution issues I think have really hurt that league and Spanish football in general in the U.S. I think it'd be tremendous if they could get the ESPN.
But if and when ABC and ESPN talks to the Premier League and says, hey, we're really interested in this next bidding that's happening in the next few months for the Premier League rights. Not only do we have the Bundesliga and Serie A, and we have the game of the week on Serie A, and we've got games now and again on the Bundesliga on ESPN, and who knows, maybe some of those on ABC in the future, perhaps. But also, it looks like we're going to get La Liga. We are effectively the soccer channel in the United States. We have the vast majority of club soccer from around the world, and the only one thing we're missing, big time, on the English language viewership side, is the Premier League. So if we're able to get the Premier League, we become the soccer destination. We will at our price point of the $5.99 a month, we become kind of the de facto soccer channel. And not being on there is actually a risk in some ways too. But yeah, it's $6 a month.
Yeah, yeah.
But if you're not on there, you could lose some steam, definitely, as everything moves towards streaming and people are cutting the cord.
Yeah, I think if they're not on there, there is a risk as people are cutting the cord and the memories of the people that NBC reached the first few years, they had the Premier League rights, and that before the ratings stagnated, are lost. The other thing with the Premier League and ESPN I should mention is ESPN specializes in very cutting-edge analysis. and the ESPN FC doesn't pull their punches about Serie A matches or Bundesliga matches because they're on the network. If a match stunk, they say so. If a player was poor, they say so. If they don't think the league is very good this season, they say so. So that's I think an uncomfortable place for the Premier League, because the Premier League, at least the last few years on ESPN, and I think it kind of on NBC, kind of coincides, in my opinion, with the quality level of the Premier League beyond Man City and Liverpool slipping. I think the Premier League was the best league in the world in 2010, even if La Liga teams were winning Europe. I do not think the Premier League is the best league in the world in 2021. I'm not sure where it is. It's not number one. I'm not even sure it's number two. But there's been the slippage. As that slippage has been happening, and as people like you and I in the soccer world talk amongst ourselves about that slippage, NBC has become more propaganda-ish in talking about, greatest show on earth. Oh, Kai Havertz came from the Bundesliga, so he doesn't know what it's like to play in the Premier League. Thiago, you know, he has to adjust to the Premier League. Does he really? He played for the best team in the world, Bayern Munich, okay? But that's the thing. I don't know if the Premier League would be comfortable with the tone of ESPN's analysts, because they don't pull their punches, and they're not going to pull their punches if the Premier League's on that broadcaster. It's on their network.
Yeah, that's a good point. I'm not sure how much attention they would actually kind of give to the analysts and the pundits, and whether they kind of zero in on that. They might be looking just at the main metrics, like the number of viewers, the amount of engagement, the amount of reach. In terms of that, and also the dollar signs too. And yes, that's an important part of the product, so to speak, in quotation marks, is the actual coverage, the pre-match, the post-game, the halftime, the other shows, the shoulder programming. But I think they would look, they'd be thinking, SportsCenter, can we get some of those highlights on SportsCenter? And even if, say, Craig Burley was giving some really honest criticism about how poor Manchester United is under Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, I don't think the Premier League would be that concerned unless he said something completely, that was really just off the kilter, so to speak. But I might be wrong, though. You might be right, Kartik, in terms of it is true. I mean, with NBC Sports, I'd say in the last 12 months, it's really, they've really turned up the hype machine a lot, where it is, they talk about, no wonder this is the best league in the world, .. You know what I mean? And it's and that usually happens when it's just like a last-minute goal that goes in, and it's like, wow. You mean, and that's becoming less and less, those types of moments. I mean, I still enjoy watching the league. But with any league, it's an up and down. It's a roller coaster. Some years are better than others. Before we move on, Kartik, just two quick things real fast. Is that speaking of beIN Sports, and we've mentioned La Liga, well, beIN Sports Extra, which is their free over-the-air channel, they're still working actively on trying to promote that, and it's now available on Vizio TVs in the United States. So the channel is available 24/7 from the SmartCast home screen. So if you have a Vizio TV, check it out under the SmartCast feature, and you should be able to see beIN Sports Extra. It won't have all the Real Madrid and Barcelona games, but you will see some Ligue 1 action, some Turkish football, and other programming. It's looked at as being kind of a sister channel, or kind of a complementary channel, and it's free of charge. So definitely check that out if you have a Vizio SmartCast TV.
Should mention at this moment that beIN, for all the criticism I give them for their problems with Comcast and AT&T, which again may go back to Comcast and AT&T having too much influence in the media space, but that's a topic for another day. They have done a really good job of getting beIN Sports Extra in different places. So particularly if you like the French league, which some people I know do, if you like, and the title race in that league is on this year, actually Lille and Lyon have kept pretty close to PSG. It's a great little product, beIN Sports Extra.
Yeah, absolutely. Looking ahead to this weekend's action, my pick, my recommendation, pretty predictable, really, but still, it's Arsenal against Manchester United on Saturday, 12:30 Eastern Time kickoff on NBC and Telemundo. This one, Manchester United, it doesn't feel like a title race, but they're still there, they're still in it. And then Arsenal, who continue to disappoint when I expect them to do well. But anytime it's Arsenal against Man United, I get excited, and I'm looking forward to this match on Saturday. What about you, Kartik? What's your recommendation for this weekend?
Yeah, that's a good one. I think Arsenal's playing so well right now. It's interesting to see them score three goals without Aubameyang. So let's see if Aubameyang gets right back into the team. For me, it's Barca and Athletic Bilbao this weekend, 3 p.m. on BN on Sunday, just because of the epic match we saw between those two teams 2 weeks ago on ESPN, actually, or ESPN2. And Barcelona had a chance to win a trophy. Ronald Koeman has been under so much fire, as has the club in general, and they blew it. And Bilbao got that equalizer in stoppage time, then Iñaki Williams, the wonder goal in extra time, and Bilbao won the trophy, which is really, really, really significant for them, because they also have the opportunity now, because the Copa del Rey was never completed last season. They actually have the opportunity to win the Copa del Rey, the final coming up. So they could actually do a cup double this year. I think it'll be interesting to see how Barcelona plays against Bilbao, given that setback. And Barcelona now, for all the criticism, they're only 3 points behind Real Madrid in second. Atleti, we think, is going to win La Liga, but it's still Atleti. They may collapse at some point. So this is an important game for Barcelona. They're still I think they could still catch Real Madrid and finish second. And as we said, I expect Atleti to win it, but Atleti actually wins the title. Again, I know they won one in 2014, but until they win another title with this set of players, we're going to have doubts about them.
All right, moving on to TV ratings. The recent match on Fox Deportes between Monterrey and Club America in Liga MX set a network Liga MX regular season record with 657,000 total viewers. So definitely a good showing there for Fox Deportes. Moving on to this, the mailbag, Curtis says, when I heard about NBCSN going away as of the end of this year, I thought about what you and Kartik talked about the past 3 weeks regarding the future of the Premier League's coverage here in the States. Spot on indeed. After about seven seasons of waking up early Saturday mornings to watch Rebecca Lowe and company bring the Premier League to fans like myself, I have to ask who'll step up and deliver beginning next season. Well, it won't be next season, it'll be the season after that. But here is my suggestion, says Curtis. Tudo N.A. on the Spanish language side, Premier League in the mornings and Liga MX at night. We're talking football from sunrise to late night weekends. And then ESPN and ESPN Plus on the English language side. I'm sure on that one, I'm sure ESPN would love to have the Spanish language broadcast be on ESPN Deportes, their Spanish channel. But if it was a joint bid, or if ESPN went in for the English language rights and didn't get the Spanish language rights, and Tudo N.A. said, hey, we'll take them, that could be attractive. The challenge is that for a lot of these Premier League matches, they don't have a lot of Mexican players or don't have a lot of players from Central America. And I think that would be the part of it that Tudo N.A. would be reluctant to go in with a ton of money, especially when they've had tons of layoffs, to go in big on this one when the viewership may not be what they expect. But still a good idea, nonetheless.
We say that and we assume that, and that's absolutely true from the way 2DNA and Univision, quite frankly, have viewed leagues historically, European leagues. However, the Eredivisie, the leagues that have had the most Mexican players have been the Eredivisie and the Portuguese league. So those have gotten kind of the most love from the Mexican-American media, if you will. However, the number of young second-generation Mexican-Americans that watch the Premier League blows my mind. And it's actually a subject I talked about with our former host of this show, predecessor of this show, Richard Farley, the other day, that it blows his mind, too. The number of people we know from our soccer, being in the soccer world, that are Mexican-American, that are interested in the Premier League, but not interested in other European leagues. And they watch Liga MX, obviously. But the one European league they're interested in is the Premier League, even though they're – other than Jimenez, who's injured now, there are no prominent Mexican players, and there are all these prominent Irving Lozano and all these other great Mexican players that in other leagues. It really blows our mind. So the question is, does 2DNA, Televisa, who's a partner in 2DNA, Televisa and Univision recognize this? Or do they go with their traditional view that, well, there's not many Mexican players in that league, we're not going to bid? So that's the big question.
Next up is Will Sams, and Will says, thanks for mentioning the Paul Pogba thing. When I do find myself listening to English soccer, it usually drifts to talking about Manchester United and subsequently goofy talk about Pogba as if he dropped a deuce in their cereal. It's strange. He goes on to say, I've stopped listening to SiriusXM FC myself. Way too much thirsty EPL talk for those who don't want it. As for strictly American soccer coverage, Jason Davis needs a co-host to bounce stuff off on, because, at least obvious to me, he routinely goes on a bit trying to fill time. With that said, it's obvious he has been asked to talk about the Premier League as well. It's as if the heads of the SiriusXM think that all Americans want to hear about the flipping EPL and not soccer in our region or in Latin America. Lastly, Goal TV lost a lot of good talent over the last few years. The two guys doing commentary now have improved over time. I've come to like. The Premier League. I've come to like them when I previously avoided them. Still, I do miss the previous talent and coverage of Brazilian football. Next up is Nick, and Nick says, this one's a long one, but it's a good one. With talks of the European Super League going around again, I think there are two fundamental business reasons why this isn't the best interest of the clubs that are leading the charge and therefore won't happen. Number one, by creating an NFL, NBA-style Super League, Juventus, Bayern, PSG, etc., would all be ceding their supremacy. The reason these clubs are so popular and commercially successful is because they win all the time. In a Super League, they would be just one of the 16 or whatever number of teams involved. They'd be lucky to win a trophy every couple of years, certainly not every year. Something has to be the bottom dweller. Not everyone can win. Why would clubs that win multiple trophies every year want to take on the risk of being perennial bottom dwellers? And we'll take a pause there just to answer that one. My answer to that is money. I don't think they're thinking about winning trophies. They're thinking about, okay, there's a guaranteed, 14 teams that will always play in the European Super League year after year after year. That's guaranteed cash cow every single year in terms of the TV rights to that. As long as people, TV stations and channels and networks around the world continue paying for that league, to broadcast that league, that's guaranteed money. That's guaranteed millions, no matter if they finish last or finish first, because there is no relegation. I mean, to me, that goes against everything in terms of all the beliefs I have in soccer in terms of promotion and relegation and making it exciting and making it accountable. But the only accounting in this is the financial accounting in terms of the money.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I think PSG would be particularly risky because they haven't – they just are risky from a competitive standpoint, because they just haven't, with the exception of last year, the mini tournament, proven that they can advance deep in – really deep in European competition. For Bayern, I think it's less risky. I mean, I don't know if any team has made the semifinals or finals as many times of the Champions League over the last 12 years or so as they have. So even in the competitive atmosphere of European Super League, I think Bayern would be very good. But yeah, I think it's money. I also think they just think that their branding will be so high, because there is this thing where there are just these random American sports franchises that have all this popularity when they don't win anything. And they're rewarded, and maybe there'll be a system in this Super League where they reward the teams that lose, because that's one of the aspects of American sports that I can't stand, is that the teams that lose, the teams that should be relegated to a lower league, get rewarded with the top draft pick. And in sometimes – That instantly makes them the best team a year or two later. So yeah. It's ridiculous, in my opinion.
Yeah, that's a good point too, because if you go to Europe and walk around the streets of London or any of the major cities in Europe, you'll see a ton of people that live there that are locals wearing baseball caps of random, you mean, whether it's baseball teams. Right, it's not just the Yankees, right? And oftentimes they may fall in love with a club, just as we do with following clubs in England or South America or Asia or Africa or wherever it may be. We love fall in love with clubs because of the stories or sometimes just random things that happen that make us want to like that club. Maybe it's the colors that they wear. But yeah, a lot of it is branding, and branding does work. It does. I mean, people do buy merchandise, and they do get into the teams that way. So Nick goes on to say, number two, creating a viable franchising system based on the current group of big clubs doesn't make any business sense. U.S. leagues have clubs spread across this country with no more than two clubs in any city, and that is only in rare cases and in only the largest cities in the country. The current group of big clubs is not well distributed across the continent. They are almost always entirely clustered in five countries and within those countries in specific cities. It wouldn't make any sense to have two clubs from Manchester and Milan in this league, but no teams from Moscow or Berlin. The way to actually make money doing something like this would be to create a US-style league where teams are strategically put into top markets. I think some of the clubs involved in this have to realize that this is the logical end game, and in this scenario, they would be on the chopping block. I think this is a really a game of chicken, and when push comes to shove, most of the people involved in this would back out. They are using this idea to gain leverage. And while I agree with that, Kartik, I think it is absolutely, I don't think it's a game of chicken, but they're definitely applying these ideas because of leverage. They're pushing as hard as they can get to get the most that they can get, to get UEFA to go ahead and change. In the interest of the big clubs. And if they don't change, I could see them moving through and pushing through some of these things. We've seen that with the Premier League. The Premier League, before it existed, it was the big clubs in England saying, like, hey, we've had enough of this football league system. We want to go ahead and change it, create our own league and have our own massive TV deals and think globally rather than just thinking locally. And that's the thing about what Nick is saying here, too, is that where he's saying like to have the team spread out. I don't think that's a wise point, only because it's not about your local markets. It's about TV viewers. So somebody watching the European Super League and they're based in, I don't know, Argentina, they don't care that Manchester City and Manchester United are, you mean, within a close region to one another. I mean, United in Trafford, outside the city. They might think that Manchester United is in the heart of Manchester. They don't care. It's all about the team. It's all about the players. It's all about being watching that team. The local side of things, I think, has no relevance in this regard.
Chelsea's in Fulham, actually, which I like to point out a lot when people. I mean, I just like to point that out there's more than one club in Fulham.
Right. Disco George says, with regards to the streaming versus TV debate, it just highlights what a weird place soccer currently occupies on television. Soccer isn't popular enough to dislodge any of the other big sports out there out of their TV slots, but slicing it into soccer-focused channels hasn't really been sustainable long-term either. We're stuck with this weird thing where we get to pay for 87 streaming services and simultaneously supposed to be grateful whenever soccer is on TV. Yeah, and he's right. We're right in this middle of this of change. I mean, we're probably feeling the change more than other. I mean, NFL fans, I think, for the most part, haven't felt this change, right? I mean, NFL fans still turn on the TV on a Sunday afternoon and we'll just flip through the channels and we'll pick the game that they want to see for the most part. They haven't felt these changes like we've felt them as soccer fans.
Yeah, I think the it's only American football, right? College football has even more games on TV than the NFL. The basketball fans have definitely felt it. Baseball fans who I've talked to have felt it. those sports still have more games on television, but you're beginning to see the shift. And we're just in this in-between area. I think that's absolutely right, what Disco George is saying.
All right, four more comments left. Chris says, found the logic behind the rankings from last week's podcast a bit bizarre, to be honest. The criticism of NBC, which both rankers, both you and I, Kartik, agreed upon, was that NBC hadn't sought out more rights beyond the Premier League. They then proceeded to rank higher than ESPN, which has reduced the amount of soccer rights it shows on ESPN TV, and CBS, which shows very little on TV. Only one English language network, NBC, has a dedicated weekly soccer slot, and only one cable channel, NBCSN, provides comprehensive coverage of a European league. Combined with the high production values of their coverage and the exposure they give soccer, NBC's ranking was, by the logic articulated in the rankings, bizarre. What would you lend the Premier League's production values to in terms of the high production? What would you say about that, Kartik?
Yeah, I do think NBC's production values were the highest when they started the Premier League rights. I don't think the production has improved particularly. Even Premier League production stuff is not it's not as cutting edge as it used to be. That's not NBC's fault, by the way. That's Premier League production's fault. But they use the world feed for a lot of matches. So I think that production wise, they're now behind CBS for sure, and probably behind ESPN also. By the way, I'm not sure if just in one thing in defense of CBS, a part of my consideration for CBS is that they show the NWSL a lot of. They've showed a lot of NWSL matches in a condensed season on television. Which I sometimes think people who watch European football or just men's soccer forget that that we have a women's soccer league in the U.S. And to NBC's credit, they're showing the WSL. They had two matches. They were supposed to have two matches this past weekend, but they were snowed out. But they have made that effort. But that's part of my my consideration for CBS. And in terms of ESPN, they still show a ton of MLS games on network. Yep. And their production values for those are very high. They still show one weekly Serie A match on television. I agree with, actually, Chris's point about NBCSN having the dedicated cable slots. And we just went through talking about how that's so important. And if they can't commit to that on USA, the Premier League might have to say – might have to look for another media partner in the U.S. I do agree with that, but we're seeing that kind of diminish, and I think just the quality of coverage on NBC has diminished. ESPN also shows other, you know, random matches, right? Bundesliga matches on TV, and obviously Spanish Cup matches, German Cup matches, or German Cup matches on ESPN3 also, which is kind of a forgotten thing in between ESPN Linear and ESPN Plus. But keep in mind, I think it's also forgotten that there is at least one weekly Serie A match on ESPN, whether yeah. It's on ESPN2 or on ESPN, there's at least one a week.
The other thing about NBC too is that the quality is there for sure, but the quantity has decreased. I mean, it's interesting. Like if we go back to 2013, the first season that they had the league, and then years after that, there's a lot of programming that they used to do that they don't do any longer. One of them is Match of the Day. That was a big deal, right? They were like, okay.
That in particular, I miss. Part of my critique of NBC might be that I'm not getting that program anymore. Now, thankful because of Peacock, and they did it on Gold before, but Peacock does give us the Premier League channel.
Right.
But I'm sometimes having to go back and watch that Premier League channel to pick up things that they used to have on Match of the Day. We're not getting any of the documentary programs that we used to get. We're not getting I know I've said this on repeatedly on podcasts, but in context of this question, not having the Neil Ashton segment, not finding a replacement there, not having even the Steve Bauer segment, which I thought was particularly good on Mondays, and not finding a replacement there. It just feels like they've dumbed down or watered down their coverage. I don't know what the right word is, dumbed down or watered down.
Yeah, I think cut back. I think. Yeah. I mean, to me, in terms of they've tightened the ship quite a bit, and still do a good job. Just not good enough to rank as number one in our ratings as of right now on television. But yeah, good points, Chris. And then just a couple more comments to go. Hans says, listen to the comments made about piped in crowd noise. And while it may be here to stay, I do not like it at all because they can't sync the crowd reaction to what is happening on the field, especially if there is a miss of a shot on goal a few seconds after the miss. You have fake. I prefer the live sounds from the players and the coaches, which I enjoyed very much listening to in Serie A, hearing Gattuso firing off on his players. I prefer that to the fake crowd noise. And then Raymond and Robert mentioned some comments. I'll read this as one just because they carry the same thought or similar thoughts. And that's Raymond says, now that Jordan Morris has left the Major League Soccer, you can make the argument that for the first time that MLS's history, that none of the top five most talented Americans are playing in Major League Soccer. Is this good or bad for MLS? And then Robert says, you guys were correct. The MLS is a feeders club league for Europe. The Sounders lose if the Swans go up. Jordan Morris, one of the league stars. Now New York Red Bulls will be sending Caleb Clark to RB Salzburg, and we'll sign another 17-year-old from Venezuela. This really makes me mad. The future of the league is sold off and then replaced with has-beens and inexpensive youngsters. To me, though, Kontek, I see this as a positive. It's more of a reality of where Major League Soccer is in the global transfer market and where it ranks globally as a league, and it's in the top 10, which is a huge accomplishment. I'd say it's probably a number 8 or a number 9 in the best leagues from around the world. But when the other leagues come calling and they want to sign XYZ player, some young American, even that's playing for Philadelphia or FC Dallas or Toronto or whichever club it is, they have to, consider the offer and think about the offer, think about how much money they can possibly make, and then look to South America to go ahead and sign a young player, bring him up into Major League Soccer, make him a star, and then sell him on for more money. I mean, it's almost like any club. If you're in the second division or you're in the Premier League or La Liga, but you're in the bottom half of the table, if the big guns come in asking to sign a player and offering money, you take it because you can benefit from that in the long run. The challenge with this, though, Kartik, I guess the big question really is about the American stars. If Major League Soccer doesn't have the American stars playing in its own league, do you see that as a good thing or a bad thing?
First off, I don't think MLS is one of the top 10 leagues in the world. I'd say it's in the top 20, but I don't think it's in the top 10. In fact, I think probably all of the top 10 leagues, with the exception of maybe the Brazil and Argentina, Brazil in particular, are in Europe. But I think it's a great thing. I think it's a great thing that young MLS stars, Aronson's another one from Philly Union, young MLS stars are moving to Europe. It's an integration. It's a recognition of how good MLS is getting, how good the players are getting here, and the player development is in our league that they've moved on to other places and are succeeding. I take a lot of pride as an American in Jack Harrison's performances. Another goal for Leeds the other day, developed in an American prep school. I know he's English, but developed in an American prep school, spent some time at Wake Forest, and then played in MLS. That gives me pride as an American soccer fan. I know a lot of MLS fans want their league, want these guys to always stay in their league. I'm really happy Jack Harrison is at Leeds United and not at NYCFC anymore. So I think it's a good thing for the league. I'm using Jack Harrison as an example because he just scored this week. Mm-hmm. I think it's a really good thing for American soccer and for MLS. And like I said, guys like Jack Harrison give me, as an American soccer person, a lot of pride.
I think it's a good thing for the U.S. men's national team, having a lot of these players go to Europe and, or go to other leagues around the world and gain more experience at a higher level, gain better coaching, better training, and then come back to play for the U.S. men's national team in a better level than what they were before. My concern, though, is just that if you have a league in the United States where there's very few young American stars, if the majority of them, I mean, the top five are now heading to Europe, it may hurt attendances attendances maybe not so much, because I mean you have that loyalty with your local club, so it's about that club. But TV ratings, at least in terms of, I mean, would having no American stars yet, unless it's the next wave of players that come through the system, but does that hurt national TV ratings? I believe it does. I think people would be less likely. I mean, they want to see. We've seen all the hoopla and the hype about Christian Pulisic playing for Chelsea, right? And how
has it moved the needle? Has Pulisic moved the needle? I mean,
yeah, but has
I can't stand this conversation about him. Tuchel drops him for the first game, and all Twitter is oh my gosh, how could he do this? You know, Pulisic is the best player in the world. I don't know that it's helped NBC's ratings. Are the ratings for Chelsea games actually higher than they were 3 years ago?
Probably not. But to be honest with you, though, has Christian Pulisic moved the needle himself? I mean, yes, he's been in a system that. I mean, when he got the hat trick against Burnley, that definitely created a whole bunch of hype. But then since then, there hasn't been much to look at.
Yeah, I'd love to see Jordan Morris, a player who was actually reared in our college system and reared in our league at Seattle, go to Swansea, help him get promoted, and then go to the Premier League next year and score goals in the Premier League. I would take more pride in that than Christian Pulisic, who seems to have been overhyped and overdone by NBC. I mean, I'm since the initial question was about Jordan Morris, and I know he's going to your club, actually, Chris, I'm really happy about this. I'm a big fan of Jordan Morris's, as people know. I mean, at one time I said he was better than Pulisic. That maybe that was maybe I was wrong about that. But I'm excited about this move. And yeah, maybe if you take a guy like Morris out of MLS, it affects ratings. The question is, does it affect ratings that much? You might be right, actually, when I think about it. I think these other names we're mentioning, it doesn't matter as much. Mm-hmm. I think Morris does matter, right? He's a star. And you're taking him away from maybe the most popular club also in the league, the most visible club. That probably does have an effect on ratings.
Yeah, I think it's okay as long as those academies keep on producing top talent and they get playing time. And I mean, with the number of clubs in Major League Soccer, there's plenty of space available for these players to get playing time, and then just seeing them progress. But I guess the jeopardy in that is if the European clubs are coming in sooner and acquiring these players at a younger age, kind of right off the assembly line, so to speak, rather than letting them become stars first in Major League Soccer, then signing them. It could hurt MLS TV ratings on a national level, where fans may not be. They're very passionate, patriotic U.S. men's national team fans that may not have much interest in watching MLS players because there's less American stars, and then now they're watching more Serie A, watching more Bundesliga, watching more other leagues that have, I mean, Austrian league or Belgian league that have a lot of American players playing with them. I'm playing for them. All right, guys, this has been a long episode, but we appreciate you sticking around. We've talked a lot about a lot of things on this episode, but if you have anything that you want to ask, or any comments, any feedback, any opinions you'd like to share, we'd love to hear from you. So we want you to have your say. You can always reach us via email through web@worldsoccertalk.com, as well as facebook.com/worldsoccertalk, and on Twitter @worldsoccertalk. Plus, of course, you can post your comments on worldsoccertalk.com. if you haven't read the story that we broke this week about La Liga, possibly move into ESPN Plus in the future, definitely check that out at worldsoccertalk.com. And we'll go ahead, probably within the next week, we'll go ahead and post those rankings and ratings for the top American soccer networks. If you missed the podcast episode, we'll have that on the website under Kartik's name in the next few days or so. All right, Kartik, let's get out of here. Okay, so where can listeners find you, and what should they do this weekend?
KKFLA737 on Twitter, obviously worldsoccertalk.com on the web. And this weekend, with all the football action from around Europe and around the world, enjoy your football.